Today's share in the Deir Shu Mishnah Berurah Yomi program is Daf Reish Lamed Amud Beis. We're in the fourth volume of Mishnah Berurah, in the middle of Simen Shin Samach Vav, and we're in the middle of Sif Gimel. Yesterday, we introduced some of the ideas of where to place the Eruv Chatzeros that you're making to allow a courtyard to be transporting things from the courtyard to the houses around the courtyard and from the houses into the courtyard. So we said yesterday that everybody has to participate in purchasing or being part of the box of matzahs, the pas that you're going to place. So where do you put this? So we said yesterday that you have the right to put it into one of the houses, and that person actually doesn't even have to contribute. So now we continue, top line of Reish Lamed Amud Beis with the Mechaber, who says, "Ve'ein meinichin oso, you don't place the Eruv Chatzeros b'chotzer, in the courtyard itself, but you must put it ela b'bayis sheroy ledira." The place that you're doing, as we discussed yesterday, is not a kinyan over here, but you're actually making this as if all the people in this courtyard are dwelling in that house, because where the pas is, where the box of matzahs are, for example, that is considered the dwelling place for everybody. So therefore, it's considered as it's one unit, and therefore you can carry, one person can carry it from any of his units, from his own personal Rishus HaYachid to any of his other personal Rishus HaYachids. So to here, we're making this courtyard with all the houses around it into one personal unit by placing the box of matzahs over there. So therefore, that house where you're placing the matzahs in has to be royal adira, has to be a place where people can, in fact, dwell and stay. The Mechaber continues, as opposed to liafuke beis shar, as opposed to some sort of like a guardhouse or an entranceway, achsadra, this would be something like a veranda, or a mirpesis, which would be like a balcony or something like a porch area, a gallery area. All of these do not qualify as bias sheroy ledira, and therefore they're no good. The Mishnah Berurah explains in Sivkot and Chav, the afo gav shasuyin kein batim, even though these have a similar appearance to a house, mikomokom ho vehein derisa sarega l'cho b'nei chotzer, since everybody has the right in the chotzer to use these areas, lo chashiv edira, they're not considered individual dwelling places. The issue footnote number 24 brings down, therefore, some sort of like a lobby area or open area that everybody is allowed to use going into different apartments, for example, in a house, so that would not be acceptable as well, because called Dayari Habinyan Ovrim Darko, everybody gets the right to go through that area, and that has the halachic status of a Beis Shar Shel Rabin. Indeed, the Chofetz Chaim in the Bir Halacha Dibra Maskul Yafuki Beis Shar says that the stam position of the Mechaber over here is that it doesn't make a difference whether it's a Beis Shar that belongs to an individual or to a Rabin. And this is based upon the opinion of the Rambam. However, he brings down from the Beis Yosef a long arichus on this, and he brings down that there are other poskim such as Rashi, Tosus, the Rosh, and the Rashba that disagree with this. And they hold that according to their opinion, you could put it into a Beis Shar that belongs to an individual person because everybody doesn't have the right to go over there. And in fact, the Vilna Gaon says that is, in fact, the opinion over here of the Mechaber. The Mechaber is not holding like the Rambam. The Mechaber is holding like Rashi, Tosfos, the Rosh, and the Rashba, because he says, by definition, a Beis Shar means a Beis Shar of a Rabbim. But it doesn't mean a Beis Shar of a Yochid. That's not what it's called. He says this is the Rif's opinion as well. Mishnah Berurah continues in Sivkot and Chav Aleph, saying Amir Pesis. That's Mokum Gavoa B'chotzer. That's like a porch area, balcony area. Uba Madregos Olam Bem Lelios. And you have steps going up to this area that go up to the attic apartments, like the second floor garden apartments. V'zeha Mokum Gavoa Mukaf Bevinyan V'dorinbo. And this place is surrounded by mechitzos, and people live up in those apartments. So in the apartments would be fine, but not in the balcony area. Then the Mechaber tells us there's another characteristic over here that you're required to have in order to place the Erev Chatzeros in that room. You must have an area that is at least square 4 amos by 4 amos. We'll discuss in a moment whether it can just need to have the total square footage over here of being 16 amos, or do you actually need to have a 4 by 4 minimum area? So in other words, you can't have something that's 8 by 2. You must have at least 4 by 4. It could be larger than 4 by 4, but a minimum of 4 by 4. We'll discuss this in a moment. What exactly is the size of an amo? We've mentioned many, many times. There are many different opinions. It's somewhere between 1.5 feet to 2 feet, and you can see inside in Deir Shu footnote number 25, the opinions of Rechaim Noah and the Chazon Ish, in terms of, in meters, how big an Amma is, and how big 4 square Ammas are, Ayin Shom. For practical purposes, it's somewhere in between 6 to 8 feet by 6 to 8 feet. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Chav Beis tells us, the Oz Hu Royal Adira, this, by definition, of being 4 Ammas by 4 Ammas, is the definition of a place that a person can dwell in, it's big enough to dwell in. The issue footnote number 25 brings down that there's a unique din brought down from the Achidish from the Atzei Almogim that says on Sukkos, even if you have a smaller than this size sukkah, since it's royal adira, by definition, you're supposed to be able to dwell and live in a sukkah, so it would be acceptable to place the Erev Chatzeros inside a sukkah, even though it's smaller than 4 amos by 4 amos. The issue footnote number 27 brings down the discussion how you define the open space, this 4 amos by 4 amos that you need. What about cabinets or tables or chests that are over there? So he brings down a machlokes in terms of whether they're considered a permanent part of that room and therefore they're used by the room. And the opinion would say that even if you have aronos over there, it doesn't ruin it. And that would be, for example, the opinion of the Shelus Uchuvus Marsham. Or the first opinion that he brings down is that no, the Shona Halacha says that it takes away from the living area of the room and it can't be included. And that's, in fact, what the Chazon Ish paskins as well. The issue footnote number 28 says that the Chazon Ish's opinion is, both in regard to this halacha as well in regards to mezuzah, that you must have a minimum of a length and a width of 4 amos. So it's not just 16 square amos. You can't have 8 by 2. You must have exactly at least 4 amos in the length and 4 amos in the width in order for this to be considered a dwelling place, both for this din of Erev Chatzeros as well as for the din of a requirement for a mezuzah. And the Mishnah Berurah continues and he says, V'murach of Yosem Yarba El Shukotzer B'Yarko. Here the Mishnah Berurah himself puts in that if it's a total of 16 square amos, for example, it's 8 by 2. But as long as it has the 16 square amos, v'yeshbol rabia, arba arba, so he says it's a machlokis, yesh deos ben aposkim. There are different opinions that we just brought down in Dershu footnote number 28, whether this is in fact imikre dira, this is called a dwelling place because it has 16 square amos. We don't care what the orientation is, 8 by 2, 16 by 1 theoretically, or must you have a minimum of 4 by 4? And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah concludes, and he says, "Lafikoch min anochel naniach l'chatrila bebayis acher yoser gadol." Don't get involved in this machlokas if you don't have to. Place it in a room that's at least 4 amos by 4 amos in its length and its width, and this way you get around any problems. The issue footnote number 29 brings down it the Chatzar only has 2 houses in it, and one meets these criteria, and one doesn't meet these criteria using different size definitions of an amma. So he says, Mimanushach, put it in the larger one, because if you needed to have it, you're Yotze. And if the smaller one is not considered a dwelling place, then you didn't need it anyway, and therefore you're better off putting in the larger one. Then the Mishnah Berurah says, look in the Bir Halacha, where the Chofetz Chaim has a further discussion. He brings down from the Tosefta Shabbos as to what happens if you have a room within a room. So you have an area that has less than 4 by 4 within a larger room that is more than 4 by 4. So he brings down from the Tosefta Shabbos that that's acceptable. He also brings down that if the smaller room is totally open to a larger room, you can place it in the smaller room because it's subordinate to the larger room. However, the Chofetz Chaim himself says, Ladati dino kamaisa in a mukhri. He says, I'm not sure I agree with the first din that the Tosefta Shabbos said. And he concludes, after a discussion about this, he says, V'tzaruch iyun lamaisa. You need to look into this carefully before you pass this halach lamaisa. In Dershu footnote number 44, he brings down an explanation of the Tosefta Shabbos from the Minchas Yitzchak, Zatzal Dayan Weiss. Writes down that based upon the Gemara in Sukkah, Shabayish Sheim Bo Dalet Amos El Dalet Amos Nechshav Omed Lihisaser. If something is not considered a significant size, it's so to say waiting to be destroyed, taken down, so you can put up an appropriate structure there. So too, he says, the opinion of Tosefta Shabbos is, if you have a small cheder over here, and it's as if it's omed l'shvira, therefore, nechshav kilu ha'erev munach b'cheder gadol. So if the small room inside the larger room is where you're putting the erev, it's as if the small room doesn't exist. It's going to be taken down, and therefore it's acceptable because it looks like it's really halachically in the larger room, which is more than 4 by 4 amos. That's the explanation for the Tosefta Shabbos' kula. Then the Mechaber tells us, Vafilu hu shel katan. This is true that you're allowed to go and place this Erev in anybody's dwelling place, even if that dwelling place is owned by a katan, a person who is not a halachically a bar das. And the Mishnah Berurah explains in Sivkot and Chof Gimel, Pirush, Shabayis menichem bo Erev hu shel katan. This house belongs to an 11-year-old kid. The Kamash Vulam, the Chiddush over here is, the lo tema, do not say, the tzorech lahaknos lem beso, the katan lal barak nuyuhu. Don't say that this works, the Erev Chatzeris works by everybody, so to say, making a kinyan in that dwelling, and therefore a katan doesn't have the ability to make a kinyan. So therefore, that's not the reason. Kamash Lom, the Chiddush is, like we said yesterday, in this regard as well, the lo mishum kinyan hi. The Erev Chatzeres doesn't work via a kinyan, via a halachic acquisition. El mishum dira, it works because functionally, everybody now is considered living in the place where their bread is. And therefore, al kemutu loniach apilu bebeis katan. Therefore, it could even be placed into the dwelling place of a katan because he's not halachically doing anything. The fact that the physical Erev is there makes it halachically acceptable. Dershu footnote number 30 adds, therefore, if this belonged to nobody, if it was a house of Hefker, there's an abandoned house there, and they put the Erev in there, Chazini says that would work as well, because halachically, it's as if they all now are dwelling over there, so the fact that it's Hefker is irrelevant. Then the Mechaber tells us another din. The Imrigilin litno tomi bebayis yadua. If the Erev Chatzeris has been placed in a specific house for a well-known period of time, so it is known that the Erev Chatzeris is in that house, ein lehem l'shanoso. One shouldn't change it and move it to a different person's house within that chatzer. Mechaber says, ein lehem l'shanoso, you shouldn't change it around, v'litno bebayis acher, and put it into another house, mipnei darkei sholem, for peace purposes, that it's going to cause trouble if you don't do this. What do we mean by that? So let's look inside in the Mishnah Berurah Sivkot and Chof Dalet. First of all, if it's regularly placed in a certain house, you should leave it there. As opposed to lafuke im lo hurgulu adayin lezeh abayis, they made an Erev Chatzeris the first week and they put it in Yanku's house. So that's not yet called that it's regularly placed in Yanku's house. And therefore, in lahakbid im mishanim levayis achir, if next week they put it in Shimon's house, that's okay, that's not a problem. Sivkot and Chafei, but if it's regularly placed in a house, then you shouldn't change it. So the Mishnah Berurah says, "Va'afilu yesh lem ktsas tam b'dover." Even if there's somewhat of a reason to do so, not a major reason, but a minor reason to do so, you still shouldn't do so, unless imlo di yesh lem tam araba yoz mutar l'shanoso. If there's a major reason to do so, for example, that the first person's house that they put it in keeps on eating it up, the first person keeps on losing it, or something like that, so you have a real halachic problem. So then you'd be allowed to move it. You don't have to worry about over here. In this situation, if you have what's called a tam rabba, tam or rabba. This din has tremendous halacha l'maaseh ramifications in regards to other mitzvos that there's a chazakah that somebody does the mitzvah. And you can see this in Dershu footnote number 31. He brings down from the Kaf HaChaim, from various poskim, who says that yevshol l'kachas mihem es zechusam b'mitzvah below tam. You can't take somebody away from their performance of the mitzvah if they've been regularly doing it for no reason whatsoever. And therefore, you can't remove somebody for being the shoychet in the town, the person who blows the shofar in the town, etc., unless nimtza bo kilkul, unless he's no longer physically capable of doing it, or you have some sort of a suspicion that he's not doing it properly, he doesn't blow the shofar correctly, he doesn't shecht properly, then you can take it away. But otherwise, if there's no suspicion that he's doing it incorrectly, you're not allowed to take away a mitzvah from somebody. Rabbi Kiva Eger, in the Shelus Tshuvas, Rabbi Kiva Eger brings down that this chazak of mitzvos is applicable only in mitzvos where you need the haskam of the tzibur. For example, everybody has to agree that this guy can blow the shofar. But if it's something like learning, which you don't need the haskam of the tzibur for, then you could take it away from one person and have another person do it. And he brings down as well that others discuss this in great detail. Ayin Shami brings down the Sefer Shelus Tshuvas Divrei Malkiel and the Shelus Tshuvas Chikrei Lev, where this is discussed in great detail. Mishnah Berurah Sivkot Chavav says you can't put it into another person's house if you don't have any good reason to do so. V'afilu meis ha-balabais, even if the first person ever whose house it was in died, you still can't remove it from that house. We'll see in a moment why. And this is true. V'afilu ha-sheni nosin mos levnei ha-chotzer laniach b'veso. And even if somebody wants to pay for the privilege of having this house, his house be the place where they're putting the Erev Chatzeris. And this is true. V'afilu hu-talmud chacham rishon ha-aretz. And even if the person whose house you now want to place it into is a big talmud chacham, and the original house that you placed in, the guy's in ha-aretz, in all of these situations, you should not change it around unless you have a tam or rabba, a very good reason to do so. However, the Mishnah Berurah says, in betchilas hanesino histu l'shanos, but if originally when they put it there, they made a condition that we can change it whenever we want, then mutu l'shanos, then you are allowed to change it. He brings down the name of the Knesset HaGdola. The issue footnote number 32 brings down that this concept of being able to change it will depend on whether we say that this is an issa derabbanon mipnei darkei sholem or an issa deraisa. And he brings down from the Shelus Tshuvas Chikrei Lev, if it's a din derabbanon, then you have a right to change it because you're allowed to make a tanai on a din derabbanon. But if he says if this is an issa deraisa, then you don't have a right to go and automatically change it because that would involve being masne a masha kosa b'torah, and that might not be allowed. However, he brings down im avru votzius erim ibe, so in this situation, if you did it, and you hold the sinisa daraisa, so then, chayavim lachzir l'sham, then you must bring it back. It wouldn't be good in the new place. The Mishnah Berurah says in Sivkot and Chav Zayin, the reason is over here because of Darkei Sholem. What exactly is this? So, inyan Darkei Sholem bekan hu mishum chashad. He brings down from the Gemara that the reason of this Darkei Sholem is because otherwise there's going to be a chashad about this person. What do we mean by a chashad about this person? So, Rashi brings down, the Mishnah Berurah says, upirish Rashi, hol v'hurgol ha'erev b'socho so'abayis, since everybody knows that the Erev Chatzeris is normally in that house. And then, in Basel l'shano says makom, if you change the place, ha'nichnosim lo so'abayis, and then people come into that house, v'lo yiru shama, and they won't see the Erev Chatzeris box of matzahs over there, they're going to suspect that there is no longer an Erev Chatzeris over here, and yachshadu levei hachotzer shematatim le'erev, and they're going to falsely assume that everybody is carrying over there without a real Erev Chatzeris. And that's the chashad about the people in this chotzer carrying without an Erev Chatzeris. That's the first opinion. Mishnah Berurah brings down the name of Rashi. Second opinion brings down from Tosos. Tosos pirshu the chashad who Tosos says the chashad is as follows. The people are going to suspect when they see that the Erev Chatzeres is no longer in the first guy's house, in Yanku's house, he's eating from this pas without permission. And therefore, everybody in this courtyard took it away from him. And that's the chashad. It's going to cause all sorts of troubles over here because he's going to accuse this guy of being a ganav when he really isn't. Now, Mishnah Berurah continues and says, "Will appear Rashi according to Rashi, Bavada Yesh Lahachmer Afilu Mochar Bayis Leacha." The nafkamina between Rashi and Tosas of here is: let's say you sold this house to somebody else, so Yanko no longer is the owner. Now Reuven is the owner over here. Still, Rashi would say, "Shalol Lashanos Mokom Eiv." You should still put in the new guy's house in Reuven's house over here, the same house that it previously was in, because when people come into the neighborhood and they don't see an Eiv Chatzeres over there, there'll still be the same chashad that there is no Eiv Chatzeres anymore in this neighborhood, and therefore the people are carrying without an Eiv Chatzeres. However, according to Tosos, where it's the chashad about the person, that this guy is a ganav, going to be suspected of being a ganav, nobody's going to suspect Reuven of being a ganav if they didn't put the Erev in his house, because he never had it over there. So that wouldn't cause a chashad. Since he never had the Erev, nobody's going to assume that they took it away from him because he's a ganav. This discussion over here is when nobody is paying to have the Erev in their house, i.e. you're not paying the person to be the responsible person to have the Erev in the house. But if you're paying him $10, let's say, to be the one that has the Erev in his house, then if you have to pay the guy, then we can say, listen, until now we've been willing to pay you the $10, now we're going to pay Shimon the $10. And even if you're going to have to pay the second guy, it's not like you're getting it for free from the second guy. Nevertheless, they have the right to say, until now we're willing to pay you, now we want to pay Shimon. However, the Mishnah Berurah concludes, in any case, the Mishnah Berurah paskins over here, if you did make a change over here and moved it from the first guy's house into the second guy's house, you're not mechuyav to turn it back. However, if the person wants to go and put it back into the original house that it was in, he has the right to do so. However, in this situation, the Mishnah Berurah says you should look into what really needs to be done. It's not clear. He brings it down the name of Morgan Avraham and name of the Knesset Zagdola. Best dates is don't change it unless you have a Tam or Rabba to do so. Then the Mechaber continues and he writes, "V'afilu katan yochel ligvos ha'eruv ulekapso." Even a young child under the age of bar mitzvah can go and collect the bread and put it into whichever house it's going to be put into. It doesn't require a bardas to do this. Why not? So the Mishnah Berurah explains, we've already explained this previously, because it has nothing to do with making a kinyan, a halachic acquisition over here, that you need a person who's a bardas, i.e. above the age of bar mitzvah, a pikeach, to do this. Normally we say that the action of a katan doesn't have any halachic significance. Nevertheless, over here, we're just interested in having the Erev over here in this house. The pas is in this house. Once the pas is in the house, everything is acceptable. And in fact, the issue footnote number 37 brings down, even if a monkey put it over there, even if it was done through some non-human being, so then it still nevertheless would be good. That's brought down in the name of Tosefes Shabbos that this would be permissible. The Ein Tzarech Ben Das. You don't even need a human being. However, the issue footnote number 38 brings down that this is only according to the opinion over here that a Gentile would be allowed to do this. But according to the opinion, it says a Gentile wouldn't be allowed to do this, then even a monkey would not be allowed to do this. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah now continues. He says, by a non-Jewish person, you shouldn't have them go and collect this, because the choshud ligno, because we're here concerned that he's not going to place it there, he's going to eat it, he's going to take it. He's going to switch it around and not have what was originally collected, and therefore it won't function as our Eruv Chatzeros. The Ramah concludes and he says, nowadays we put the Erev Chatzeros inside the Beis HaKnesses. This is the early custom that it's done. And the Ramah says, the reason that I think that we do this is the Erev Shalonu Yeshlam Din Shita, because it's not really an Erev Chatzeros over here. It's really a Shita from a voice, the way our structures are set up. And when you have a Shita from a voice, one of the differences between a Shita from a voice and an Erev Chatzeros is the Ein Tzarech Laniach Beis Dira. A Shita from a voice doesn't need to be placed into a dwelling house. It can be placed anywhere that it's accessible. So therefore, Halach Lamaisa says the Beis HaKnesses, even though it's not a dwelling house, is not a problem. And that's the minhag to go put it in the Beis HaKnesses. He says this will be further discussed, Ayin Lekamen and Simin Shin Pei Vav and Shin Pei Zayin, where this is discussed further. We still have a couple of Mishnah Berurahs to do, but we've run out of time, so Mitzvah Shem will do them tomorrow. With that, we conclude today's shiur.